Do this. Get set.
This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Usinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road.
And for a little run, I did. Chris Usinski here. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW. It's a show, believe it or not, all about endurance sports, mostly about running and just trying to get you off the couch and into your first 5K. Whether you're walking it or running it, nobody cares. It's all about getting you healthy, getting you fit, and getting you out there with us. Running Flat, if you're unfamiliar with us, we produce kind of running events kind of in the Windsor-Detroit area. And we also do this weekly show. And the show is really kind of based around really inspiring people. A couple of weeks ago when I was in L.A., I shared a van ride from the airport with our guest, who's going to be our featured guest today. And, you know, he's the marathon man. He's from Sydney, Australia, and he's the world record holder for the most amount of marathons on 7 continents in 12 months. That's 160 marathons in the 12-month period. So Trent Morrow is going to join us live from Sydney to talk about his experiences, the 7 continents, what he learned about himself, and how different is running around the world. So he's going to join us at about quarter after the hour. And about quarter to the hour, you know, we're going to do Song of the Week, which is that song that's brand new, that kind of gets you out the door, down the driveway, and down the road, and kind of gets you moving. We're going to do that. And then right after that, we're going to bring in Ben Kaplan, the editor-in-chief of Iron Magazine, to kind of talk about what's been going on in running this week. So lots of other news going on here at Running Flat. If you want to follow that, you can follow us on Twitter at Running Flat or any of our Facebook pages, which are kind of associated with all of our runs. And you can always find out more information about all those runs at runningflat.com. And, you know, we did open up a U.S. office back at the end of the year in 2015. And it's so we can produce a large-scale race in September. We're on the verge of making that announcement, but it is September. and you will be, you're going to love this race. It's something that's so iconic and so Detroit-centric. When we make the announcement, we know it's going to sell out pretty fast. So watch for that on this show and also on our weekly email blast that we send out on Monday mornings to all of our runners. A couple other things that are open registration-wise and that we're kind of hunkering down for is our first race this season, which is May 1st, and it is Le Chocolat. Le Chocolat is one of those races where we're so proud of the fact that we have this wonderful race course here in the city of Windsor. It's the only time you get to close down Riverside Drive from Walker to the bridge and use that full course with all of its beauty looking over the Detroit River Vista. It's Le Chocolat. May 1st, it's our Mother's Day primer. We kind of celebrate moms. And it's a wonderful event because, A, there's chocolate involved. B, there's wine involved. And we hope to be making the announcement about the wine on next week's show, what the wine label is and what's been going on with that brand. We've been kind of keeping it under wraps for about 7-8 months now, but I think it's time that we start making some announcements on that. There's lots of firemen all over the course. Simply because it's you know, we try to raise money for Sparky's Toy Drive, which is done by the Windsor Firefighters, and it's a wonderful cause. So they're always out helping out with medals and the water stations. And, you know, it's just that alchemy of a great course, lots of friends doing it, and lots of women doing it, and they're from all over North America coming in to do this race. And we'd like to showcase the city of Windsor during that whole process and really welcome everyone there. For more information about that, and when you do go to the registration page, you'll notice that a lot of these races are on the verge of being sold out. So we're kind of like in the last 50 days of the event. And so all the maximized kind of like numbers of what's happening in each category, whether it's a 5K runner walk or a 10K runner walk or the 21K half marathon, all of them are kind of on the verge of selling out. So if you're thinking about registering, I would do it quickly. The other one that other part of the news, I guess, for Le Chocolat too, is that we have a new hotel sponsor, and that's the Motor City Casino in Detroit. You can stay in Detroit, run in Windsor, kind of have the best of both worlds. And one of the other races that is open and that is registering really quickly too is Canada Day. Canada Day is in its fourth year, and it's really one of the most bombastic, patriotic kind of events that you'll ever see, because everything's red and white. One of the things that's really amazing about this event is the medals, right? So, you know, every year when you register, you get to choose who you want on that medal as the Great Canadian. And the medal is this beautiful kind of jewel of a maple leaf with a bust of a Great Canadian embedded in it. So this year, Wayne Gretzky, Don Cherry, and Clara Hughes are the finalists for the Great Medal Award. So what you would do is when you're registering, you would vote for one of those three and then suggest who you want to see in 2017 on that medal. So whether it's, you know, Jim Carrey or Rush, you know, not Rush Limbaugh, but Rush the band. You know, there's all kinds of great opportunities to vote for whoever you want. We tally those votes up in the winter and then name the three finalists again for the following year. What's interesting about this race that we're doing that we've never done in the past is we're doing a virtual side to it. I mean, it's being Canadian is something that Canadians all around the world, no matter where they are, want to be a part of. So Canada Day really allows us to send you the medal, the shirt, the bib, and make sure that you have it for Canada Day, no matter where you are in the world. And make sure that you're able to kind of participate in it. So we have a number of people from Germany, around Canada as well, who can't make it to Amherstburg, Ontario to run it, who've registered. So it's a really neat way of kind of bringing family and friends and involved and getting them involved in something really neat and patriotic. So Canada Day is open, and you can check out all that at runningflat.com. Just a couple other races that I think are important to mention. Within the next week or so, you'll see registration open up for Color Run this year. What's really interesting about it is it's Color Run Nights, and it is a night event with an iridescent paint, lots of black lighting, lots of EDM music. It's just going to be a lot of fun. There's only two Color Run Nights events in the entire country, and Windsor is here. It's here July 23rd. And the other event will be in Montreal. And Rock Me Anaphylaxis will be probably done in September. We'll be making those announcements about Rock Me Anaphylaxis in the next couple of weeks, hopefully, once we get final permitting on that. And for those races and everything else about Running Flat, go to runningflat.com. And, you know, we're going to be right back after these messages with Trent Morrow.
You hold me down in the best way.
A perfect week starts with McCafé Premium Roast Coffee. A brilliant week begins with a bold cappuccino. A super week is sustained by a smooth latte. A delightful week delivered with a decadent mocha. But there's nothing finer than your favorite, free. And you deserve it. McCafé Rewards. Buy any 7 McCafé hot beverages and enjoy a free medium of your choice on us. Only at participating McDonald's restaurants in Canada.
M800 Weather is brought to you by Devonshire Mall. We know you want to make it fun for the kids this March break. For a complete listing of entertainment and daily live shows Monday to Friday, visit devonshiremall.com.
Here's the latest forecast from the AM800 Weather Center. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 9. Cloudy for tomorrow, 40% chance of showers. Southwest winds to 30 kilometers per hour, the high near 17. Cloudy for tomorrow night, 40% chance of showers in the evening and after midnight. Rain beginning after midnight with southwest winds diminishing, the low of 10. Rain for Thursday, the high of 14. Sunshine on Friday, the high reaching 12.
Celebrate the accomplishments of the best companies, entrepreneurs, and pillars of our community at the premier business event of the year, the 26th Annual Business Excellence Awards, presented by the Windsor Essex Regional Chamber of Commerce and the Windsor Star. Wednesday, April 20th at Caesars. 12 awards in total, including the prestigious Athena Award. Full list of nominees and details on individual or group tickets at windsorchamber.org. Early bird ticket deadline March 30th. The 26th Annual Business Excellence Awards, sponsored by AM 800 and Cogeco TV. AM 800 CKLW.
Oh, you're wonderful.
I listen to you religiously.
The place to talk in Windsor, Essex.
I love you.
Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Get more info on local races and registration at runningflat.com.
And welcome back. Chris Usinski here to Running Flat Radio. So our featured guest today is Trent Morrow, and he is the marathon man, holding the world record for most amount of marathons on 7 continents in 1 year, which is 160 of them. Also, he's recently finished his 300th career marathon. And we catch Trent in Sydney, Australia. Welcome, my friend, to Running Flat Radio.
Great to be with you, Chris. How are you?
I'm awesome. Is it nice to be home?
It is a little weird, I've got to say. I've been in the States now for so long. It's a little different. It's like going back to the old world. But having been living in the U.S. now for such a long time, it's a little different. I'm starting to get back into the swing of things, and it's great.
You know, there's so much I want to ask you about your kind of running career, and of course that 1 year. But look, there's nothing easy about what you did. And no. You know, what I want to know is why would you even want to attempt this?
Sure, great question. I think that it all comes about when you've got some major motivation and leverage to do something on that scale. Obviously, it's not something that anyone would choose to take on lightly. And it was in late 2012, I was talking to my stepmom, who was based in Scottsdale in Phoenix, Arizona, and she shared with me after a little while that she'd been diagnosed with terminal lung cancer, and sort of was a bit of a shock having lost my mum from colon cancer 20 years prior, and had an epiphany that I really wanted to do something, not only to see her before she unfortunately did pass in March of 2013, but also to acknowledge and I guess honour the memory of both my mum and also my stepmom. And that was really the driving purpose behind taking on such a wild, crazy adventure of setting such a world record.
And so you were raising money as you were doing this as well?
Yeah, look, that was certainly the objective from the start. I think that, you know, best laid plans are one thing. It certainly was something that came together quite quickly. The intent was to raise funds for charities across the US, Australia, and UK throughout the journey. As you can imagine, though, when you take on such a goal, the expense of doing one marathon itself is enough for many. And I think when you're doing the best part of 200 marathons from the start of 2013 through to Boston of 2014, which was the finish line, across all 7 continents, the cost of doing that personally has been significant, and in a large degree, the only way I could make it happen was ultimately through the goodness of people that I met along the way that believed enough in me, and I certainly didn't have any major corporate backers or anybody along for the ride, unfortunately. Perhaps that was due to the fact that I didn't have enough time to plan it through, but it was one of those moments in life where you meet a fork in the road where you say, this is a great idea, do I go out and do it, or do I just have a thought and then, you know, it passes me by and it never actually eventuates? So it was something that, you know, others have looked back and said, well, Trent, maybe you should have spent a year or two planning it out and getting corporate partners on board, and, you know, maybe it wouldn't have been such a challenge, but it didn't work out that way. It was something that I had to do, and, you know, I didn't know whether I'd last a month, 2 months, 3 months, whether it be financially, physically, spiritually, emotionally, whatever, you can imagine. It was not easy, that's for sure.
Absolutely, and one of the things that I really kind of want to focus on is how unbelievable this is. I mean, look, you're not a small man. And I don't mean this in any kind of derogatory sense. Mm-hmm. When people think of the marathoner or the marathon runner or the long distance runner, they think of a guy who's, you know, 5'4 and 130 pounds. Mm-hmm. You know, and the reality is, you know, look, Dean Karnazes, you and I both know, you know, Dean's a smaller guy. Right, super fit, and you know, he's the ultra marathon man. I think we can all admit that. But you're tall. You're a big guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so you know, I mean, you know, when people talk about actually running 26.2 miles and putting on those kinds of miles, and which how many miles is that, by the way, altogether that year?
Great question.
Wasn't it like 5,000 kilometers?
All up, 5,240 miles or 8,439 kilometers across seven continents. That was from the 1st of January 2013 to the 21st of April 2014 was the duration of doing those 200 marathons.
And with your size, I mean, what kind of injuries, what kind of issues were you actually battling for 160 events?
Mm-hmm. So there was a couple of really key moments from an injury perspective. One of those was I was doing, I think at one point, over on the west coast of the US, I was over in San Francisco and I was up to marathon number 10 in 10 days. And as you do, you change your shoes during each event sometimes. And I started to get some front shin pain, which you can imagine you put that on social media and you get 1,000 people that are non-qualified doctors giving their solution to what's going on. So I ended up pushing out, you know, day 11, day 12 in all sorts of agony. And on day 13, it was such excruciating pain. I had to walk around 26.2 miles, and I did it in about 7.5 hours and collapsed across the finish line and was really faced with this moment of, you know, do I keep going the next 4 days, which I had another 4 days of marathons ahead of me, or do I stop right now, bearing in mind that I was chasing a number to achieve this record? And I also had, you know, a week or two away from doing some big events across in Paris and London that were very important to me that I didn't want to miss. And of course, this was in the early stage of the venture, and if I had have put myself in a hospital and not been able to keep going long term, then, you know, it would have been all over. So it was one point where, you know, I was really pleased, even though it was excruciatingly painful, to stop. Personally, at that point, I ended up going over to Europe and running in Paris, and then found myself in a hospital in Belgium where I had some X-rays done, and they came back saying that there was no physical fracture, but the doctors wanted to put me in a moon boot or put me on crutches. I said, well, wait up a second. So there's no physical break as far as you can see. They said, well, no, but we haven't got the ability to...
We're sorry, because...
And welcome to live radio from Sydney, Australia. You are listening to Running Flat Radio on MA100 CKLW, the show all about running. My guest today is a gentleman who I met a number of weeks ago in Los Angeles as he was running his 300th marathon. Actually, we shared a bus ride into the hotels from the airport. And Trent Morrow holds a world's record for the most amount of marathons within a 12-month period, which ends up to be, I think, 160 marathons over seven continents. And we were just kind of talking about how does one even deal with injuries? And early on in the process, like he says, like marathon 13, he's dealing with lots of injuries. So, you know, and you're back. Welcome back to Running Flat.
Thank you.
So you were talking about the injury in Belgium.
Yeah, so long story short, basically no physical site of fracture on the X-rays. So I then went out and found another marathon, of course, and ran across in Bonn in Germany before then backing up a week later to run London. So it certainly was tough, and I think that having talked to a few medical professionals, they've given me the advice that possibly I did have a fracture. And when you're on the run, literally from marathon to marathon, I think the one thing that many people don't get is that, I mean, the logistics involved in doing this are quite phenomenal. It's not like you're walking out your front door and running 26 miles each day. It's, point where literally I was driving from, race line to race line with sometimes zero sleep or, having to catch flights. And it was really challenging, physically and emotionally, to be able to get that done as well.
Yeah, because the reality is you don't have a large name sponsor. You don't have a bus.
No.
You don't have the private jet that's flying you from destination to destination.
Correct.
like a number of people we know who do. And great for them that they've been able to kind of set that up. I mean, you kind of went on this journey. It's an emotional journey. It's obviously a physical journey. And it took you to 7 separate continents. And really quickly, as we're hitting a break right now, tell me how you actually managed the logistics and the flights.
Yeah, it was literally on a minute by minute basis, because not only did I have to try and secure the flights or work out where I was staying or how I was going to get into that race, but it was also a matter of, can I get the funding to be able to get to the next race as well? So it was, I had a number of people that were very generous enough to host me and open their doors up and welcome me all around the world, which were just phenomenal. So, I mean, some of the experiences are just fantastic, but it was a literal minute-by-minute battle of survival all the way along, and it's certainly not something I'd recommend to anybody. I'm blessed that I was able to achieve the end dream.
Absolutely. Hang with us through the break here. You're listening to Running Flat Radio on AM 800 CKLW.
Concerned, we get everything from AM 800.
CKLW.
I could stream you on the internet or my phone. I listen to you more than I watch TV.
Local news first.
Now is a hot time to buy a new furnace with a cool offer from Reliance Home Comfort. For a limited time, buy a featured furnace and we'll give you a free air conditioner when you pay for installation. Free air conditioner when you buy a furnace? That's a hot deal that'll keep you warm this season and cool the next. Savings today, comfort year round. Conditions apply. For details, call 1-866-RELIANCE. That's 1-866-RELIANCE. Because at Reliance, we're not comfortable until you are.
Feel the excitement of a man who's crossed the globe to bring his signature sound all the way from Australia to millions of music fans in North America. Bud Light presents 93.9 The River's Icebreaker Concert, March 22nd at the Fillmore Detroit, starring Vance Joy on the Fire and Flood Tour. Vance Joy tickets on sale now at LiveNation.com. Don't miss Vance Joy. Live.
7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor-Essex, an information update with Paul McDonald.
Not guilty. The ruling at the trial of an Amherstburg man charged with 18 sex-related offenses dating back to 2009. The charges against Carlos Savidi included sexual assault, invitation to sexual touching, and sexual interference. Following a trial in Superior Court last month, the judge acquitted Salvidi on all counts. A London man has pleaded guilty in connection with a crash that claimed the lives of 2 Windsor residents 2 years ago. 59-year-old Leszek Urbaniak pleaded guilty in a Chatham court today to careless driving. He was originally charged with dangerous operation causing death. His tractor trailer crossed the median on the 401 in May 2014 and slammed into a car, killing 35-year-old Mark LaFontaine and his 13-year-old niece, Alyssa Smulders. Urbaniak will be sentenced later this month. The price of the all-new Windsor-built Chrysler Pacifica starts at $44,000. Fiat Chrysler Canada has not officially made an announcement, but AM 800 News has been told the 2017 minivans will begin at that price point. Depending on options, it could go as high as $54,000. In sports, University of Windsor grad Bob Weeks is part of the 2016 inductee class for the Canadian Golf Hall of Fame. The longtime golf reporter has been named in the builder category. Great Lakes Junior C League finally is underway in Essex between the 73s and Amherstburg Admirals. Right now at the end of the first, it's all tied 1-1. Weather-wise, partly cloudy for tonight with a low dipping to 9. 16 right now, 61 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul McDonald, AM 800 News.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski on AM 800.
Hey, welcome back to Running Flat Radio. My featured guest is Trent Morrow, the marathon man, holds the world's record for the most amount of marathons in 1 year on 7 continents. He joins us live from Sydney, Australia. Thanks for holding through the break. Trent, so, look it. Let's talk about the actual races themselves now that you've done all over the world.
Yes.
How much different is the marathon, the 26.2 miles, the 42K? How much more is it different in different countries around the world? And, like, is there, like, you know, language issues and water station issues and, you know, like all those kind of things that we take for granted when we're running or racing?
Yes, it does vary. It certainly does vary. There's no doubt there's a cultural difference from nation to nation and also continent to continent. I think that, you know, certainly my experience in Paris was a little different to others where, you know, you didn't get any energy drink until, say, you know, 10 kilometers into the race or further on, and then you only had one bottle at that of Gatorade. So that was a little different. I think that certainly other races in terms of atmosphere is non-existent. There's no crowds at all from some countries, which is a little bizarre when, you know, you're previously expecting it to be perhaps a great atmosphere and that the crowds would come out in the streets, and then you find out that there's no commotion or, you know, outside of the roads being closed down and the police presence, that's pretty much it. So there's certainly differences from country to country, and that's what, you know, keeps it interesting. I think that if it was all the same and it was you know, straight out of a box, then it would get very boring. But whilst the 26 mile distance should always be respected and is a challenge, I think that the reason a lot of us keep coming back is because it represents a different sort of experience every time.
Can you give us just a kind of like a brief tour, kind of highlight wise of what were your highlights on the 7 continents?
Yeah,
like Antarctica. let's start with that one.
Okay, sure. So Antarctica was number one. It was the biggest logistical challenge for me to make happen. There's no question about that. And there's probably about 3 or 4 operators that go across to Antarctica. Mm-hmm. I ended up doing it with a group called Marathon Tours out of the U.S. that, for me, were the most reputable company to be a part of. The only downside of that was the time it took out of the schedule to make happen. You literally fly out of Argentina. You fly into Argentina and then you're on a ship for the best part of 3 days going across the Drake Passage before you get out to King George Island. And you're running from country's base to country's base across King George Island. So you're going from the Chinese base across to the Russian base, across to the Argentinian base. Right. In the Chinese base, so it's literally a number of laps on what was on this particular day, quite a muddy and slushy course, which was not all that, you know, beautiful, of course. But to me, it was obviously the most important piece of the puzzle to bring together.
So it's not like you had to run around the deck of a ship like some of the cruises are.
Correct. Yeah, right. There's certainly some people that do that. It was certainly important for me to actually be in Antarctica and on the land, absolutely. So many people, as you can imagine, were over there for the sightseeing opportunities as far as the seals and the whales and the penguins were concerned, and they were spectacular, but that was certainly secondary for me when I was on that part of the journey, that's for sure.
Well, what was the hardest race to run?
Great question, and I think that, you know, there's certainly something to be said as far as altitude and the challenge in terms of lack of oxygen that you can be faced with. I think that from my journey, it was all about, you know, how the body was and how the mind was in terms of being able to back up, often with little sleep going from race to race, and then also dealing with the time zone challenges as well. So, which I've obviously just experienced having returned to Australia from the US. So I think that when you're operating on, you know, those sort of physical challenges of being able to get up and do it all over again, you often find it's part of the routine. But the courses certainly were challenging, and for me, I'm not great on hills. So the hillier the course, the more challenging the course. So that's certainly, I'd put the hardest races were probably the ones that were more uphill than downhill. My best times are on flat or downhill courses. So some of the highlights that I experienced outside of Antarctica was clearly across in Chile, the Patagonia International Marathon was absolutely sensational with the scenery over there. And then I've probably got some of the other bigger marathons, which are highlights, such as the majors in Chicago, New York. London was very emotional for me straight after the incidents in Boston in 2013. The atmosphere of that race was absolutely electric. And then, you know, doing Gold Coast Marathon was my only major marathon on home soil in 2013. So that certainly helped lift my performance then as well. Had some other amazing highlights around the world, such as Stockholm Marathon in Scandinavia, and also the likes of Paris I mentioned earlier, and then across in Edinburgh as well was sensational. So there's certainly a lot to be said for the atmosphere that's created in those larger races. In saying that, I did a number of very small races with a small number of competitors in those midweek races, which a lot of people sort of think, well, you obviously only got a number of weekends in the journey. How can you get all those marathons in? Well, reality is that, you know, if you look online and do your research enough, there are a number of very small races that either go from state to state across the US or have race series, and they're out there if you look hard enough. But certainly, I mean, the atmosphere that you get from those bigger races is pretty hard to compare.
Yeah, look, a lot of us who are runners always had like this bucket list, right? Our wish list of races to do, right? I mean, for those of you who are fast enough or old enough, with some speed, you can go to Boston, but you know, there's always, you know, London, Paris, maybe Chicago or New York, you know, depending on your flavor, if you want to actually run with 40,000 plus people, but so those are all bucket list. You did them all in a year. Like you actually you've pushed your entire bucket list and you've checked them all off, and most recently you've done your 300th career marathon.
I did, yes. So I mean, I've also been fortunate enough to not only do marathons, whilst that's what my preference is, I've also started with a race called the Marathon des Sables, which is 250 kilometres through the Sahara Desert over 6 days. So I've got 12 ultras to my list of credits as well. But I mean, this, in saying that, Chris, there's still so many marathons out there that are on my list of, of wanting to do. So there's we're talking about thousands of races around the world, and whilst I've had the great pleasure of experiencing many of those bucket list marathons, there's just still so many that I either love that I really want to return to, or others that I've not yet got to. I mean, I'm still one away from completing the marathon majors, and that's Berlin that's on the list for me to do, which I'm looking forward to. But I think that no matter what we're doing in our career, our life, whatever it is, it's about looking forward, and it's about sort of not resting on your laurels. It's about having a plan that motivates you and inspires you moving forward, and that's something that, you know, I need to be conscious of, looking forward and planning out as to, you know, where do I want to go and what do I want to achieve. And whilst I may have, you know, done some amazing things in the past, it's a matter of saying, okay, well, that's great, and we appreciate that, but where can we move forward, and what's going to motivate us sort of on the next page?
So were you always a runner?
No. So the journey goes back to 2006 when my niece actually was in Sydney, and I had a family christening to attend, and I saw a family photo at the end of that and didn't recognize who I was looking at. I'd been working in the pharmaceutical industry and been pulling some crazy hours and not exercising and eating the wrong foods, and was 70 pounds overweight, and realized I needed to do something about that and change my lifestyle up. So I then made some lifestyle choices that were much more conducive to losing that weight, and ran my first half marathon in Sydney of September 07 and crossed the line in hour 51 with limited training beforehand. Couldn't walk for a week after that, and then signed up to do this marathon to Saab. So I don't throw myself into the deep end very often, but that was certainly the start of it all, really. And many people thought that once I was able to survive that and get through that journey, that that would be where the marathon man journey finished, but really it was just a start.
And were you a traveler? Like before you actually started all this mayhem of traveling around the world, were you always a world traveler?
Well, look, I hadn't really traveled until probably back in when 2001 was probably really when I spent some time across in Europe, and it was something that really opened up my eyes to what was out there outside of the border in Australia, obviously a little geographically isolated down under, and I saw a whole new world there, and yeah, that really was, I guess, the genesis of it. So having started the marathons, I then realized I could actually combine a love of travel and running. And in 2008, after doing the Marathon de Saab, I was fortunate enough to get a spot in New York. And as a consequence of that, realized that a flight from Sydney to New York was about the same as a round-the-world trip. And then designed a little concept back in those days of doing six marathons in six countries in 6 weeks, and ran, I think it was Melbourne, Sydney, and then I went across to Amsterdam, and then went to Dublin, New York, and finished up in Athens. So that was probably where that journey all started, and I absolutely loved that side of it, being able to combine my passion for travel and also for fitness and health and running. And it's just literally continued from there.
You know, I wish you all the best of luck, you know, in whatever you're going to do moving forward, probably going towards your 400th marathon, perhaps. And do you have something planned right now, or is it just you're home and now it's just time to regroup?
So that's certainly an element of it, but I think that I'm looking forward to developing the book, turning it into a movie project, and also working on some other exciting plans I've got in the future. I think for me, it's all about, I guess, sharing the story and having others sort of come on board and share the ride, and sort of, I come from a world where it's, you know, it's about sort of giving people that opportunity to say, well, you know, I really wanted to do something of significance. I wanted to follow a dream. And quite often in our life, we've got friends, family, loved ones, whoever it might be, that give us a reality check and say, well, we can't do that, or we shouldn't do that. Well, I'm here to say you can do it. If you believe enough in it, follow it and go out and do it. So I think that, again, you know, I'm still in the very early days of this journey, and it's about having that belief, passion, and purpose to go out there and follow your dream. And whatever it is in our life, you know, we've all got a marathon to run. You know, it may not necessarily be 26.2 miles, but, you know, whether it's your family, whether it's your career, whatever it is, it's a matter of saying, what do we want to have as our legacy? What do we want to leave our children, or, you know, who do we want to be remembered as? And that's something that's important to me to share with others, and hopefully over the years ahead I can be a voice of inspiration to many more people around the world.
Trent, I'm so glad I got a chance to meet you a number of weeks ago, and thanks for joining us today on the air, and good luck.
Great pleasure.
All the
Thank
best.
Thank you so much, and all the best to you and all my friends in Canada, and look forward to running over that way again soon.
We'd love to have you. All the best.
Okay. Thank you. Take care.
Thanks. Trent Morrow, the marathon man, joins us from Sydney, Australia this evening. You know what? Like you said, he did not start running until 2006. and then decided that within 6 or 7 years he was going to go for a world record and did it. And I'm telling you, he's not a small guy. He's actually probably 6'4", 6'5", and it's really quite an outstanding story. You can find out more information about Trent on his website, teammarathonman.com, or you can follow him on Facebook under the Marathon Man. You're listening to Running Flat Radio, and it is that time of the week where we do Song of the Week, and the Song of the Week is Wild Horses by Bishop.
You hold me down in the best way, no quarter from these chains that I slapped on my heart for a feeling. Why can't I let my demons lie? Keep screaming into the pillow, 'cause your touch still gets me stupid high. Oh glory, I'm a believer. Oh glory, I'm a tribal. Wild horses, wild horses, wild horses.
Hi, this is Jeremy Diamond. Let me ask you a question. If insurance companies have teams of high-priced lawyers and adjusters fighting for them, who's fighting for you? You want a team that will take your worries away so you can concentrate on getting better. Get the team at Diamond & Diamond on your side. Now that we have opened an office in Windsor, we invite you to find out why there's nothing tougher than a diamond. Call 1-800-567-HURT today for your free consultation or visit diamondlaw.ca. And remember, you don't pay unless we win.
Diamond and Diamond.
AM 800 Weather is brought to you by the Bargain Annex.
Need a mattress? Need credit?
Bargain Annex to the rescue!
Get your appliances and credit back on track today. The Bargain Annex inside Deffermans.
Here's the latest forecast from the AM 800 Weather Center. For tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 9. Cloudy for tomorrow, 40% chance of showers. Southwest winds to 30 kilometers per hour, the high near 17. Cloudy for tomorrow night, 40% chance of showers in the evening and after midnight. Rain beginning after midnight with southwest winds diminishing, the low of 10. Rain for Thursday, the high of 14. Sunshine on Friday, the high reaching 12.
Summer is just around the corner, and seats are filling up fast on CAA's incredible selection of tours in Europe, Asia, Australia, Canada, and just about everywhere else you can dream of. Every CAA store is a full-service travel agency, and our consultants have the expertise to make sure your vacation is everything you'd imagine. Start your planning by visiting caasco.com or stop by your local CAA store to take advantage of early booking bonuses. CAA, making bad days good and good days better.
The Scratch is back. Now through March 9th, it's Lowe's Scratch and Save event. Your chance to scratch and save for up to $100 instant savings. See store for details.
My truth in the worst way, through the dirty lens of a broken smile, and I swear I'm not a pretender. Sometimes it's love who's the biggest liar, so I keep on damning the devil, and you'll keep on saying
Song of the Week is Bishop with Wild Horses. So run faster. You know, download it and go out for a run with it. It's now time for Ben Kaplan, Editor-in-Chief of iRun Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by iRun.
Welcome, Ben, to Running Flat Radio. How you been?
I cannot complain, my friend. How are you?
I'm okay. So, look, the weather's been unbelievable here in Ontario. We got this. It's almost like a Chinook. We're getting our own Chinook going here.
I like it.
Absolutely. And there's lots of runs happening. So you just did a run.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling great. I did a run on Sunday, and I came. It wasn't a PB, but I missed my PB by like 4 seconds. But the point is, I wasn't even going for it, and I didn't have a watch or a time goal or anything, and I just let the pieces fall where they may. And, you know, now granted, it was a half marathon, and that's a whole different ball game than a marathon, but still, I'm feeling I'm pretty jazzed, so onwards and upwards.
And why did you do a half marathon?
Well,
wow.
This is what I do to sort of get myself going again and just familiarize myself with the racing sort of structure and just getting to the line and getting nervous and the night before and what are you going to wear and all that jazz. And, you know, if you could put yourself through it a couple of times before the big dance. And for me, the marathon under 3 hours is the big dance. So I like to take a couple of, you know, little warm-ups before I make my move. Yeah, that's right.
So, look, when you're actually planning your calendar for the year, do you actually do that? Do you actually say, okay, May is, you know, X race, which, you know, this is what I'm getting really serious about. And then what do? You just kind of work your way towards that?
I mean, a year is too much. I think a year is too much for me to keep in my head. But I generally do it in May and October. And then I roughly, you know, 3 months. I can focus for 3 months. And even out of the 3 months, I can focus for, you know, 3.5 weeks per month. The point is, 3 months is about as long as I can, like, you know, not eat potato chips. Yeah.
Awesome. You know, we actually had on the books for a number of years a race called the Poo Poo Paganini.
I know, the legendary.
The legendary Poo Poo Paganini. It was going to be your crap race of the year, right? And then everything else would be a PB right after that. So
I love that. Yeah, no, of course. I mean, and then the whole thing, too, is you got to do one. That's why this race was so awesome, and I didn't have a goal, and I didn't wear a watch, because it was like, I just want to get the rust off. And then when it turned out, I was like, hey, I'm in fighting shape. It's like, hey, hallelujah. You know, better to surprise yourself with a positive than, you know, be disappointed, which is what I so often do with these stupid races.
But it's also been a really good winter to be training.
Yeah, man, but, you know, hey, who the hell knows, though? Each time you get out there, it could go a million different directions. So, like, I don't know. Yeah, for sure, and hopefully that helped, but I don't know. You know, sometimes it's just a feng shui on the on the Sunday morning, you know?
Absolutely. Well, all the moons align, and away we go, right?
That's it.
So today is exciting. International Women's Day.
Right.
And, you know, look, women play such an important, pivotal leadership role in this sport today, more so than ever before.
Yeah, changed the game. The reason I have a magazine and you have a show, frankly, is because women's interest in the sport, has popularized it so much, biggest time since the 80s.
And it's not just here in Canada. I mean, it's around the world.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's exciting. You know, I mean, they used to do women's shoes is just make a mini version of a man's shoe and throw some pink on it. And they literally were doing that in the middle of the 90s. So imagine that. So the thought of, you know, women didn't even really have as a category even exist. And now, it's, you know, they drive the market.
They do. And really, it's about women being empowered to make a difference in their own lives and to work with each other to make that difference as well. And that's really kind of how we even see, like, Le Chocolat, right? Le Chocolat, they usually register in threes and fours and fives and do it together and make the trip down to Windsor and book the hotel together and spend a couple days together. And that's really the power of women in running today.
Love that. Have fun with it. I mean, there's all sorts of great stuff. But I even take it further. I mean, me and you, when we were at the Running USA thing, there's this story I've wanted to do forever. I'm just calling it Women Who Rule, because the race directors from Vancouver to the Sporting Life 10K to, the half marathon Manitoba, are all women. And so, you know, and the Women Who Rule, they're doing all of these races. So they've gone from, like, you know, a small men's shoe with a little bit of pink on it to, like, you know, control Calgary. Calgary's got a woman race director. I mean, you know, and Calgary has how many people? You know, these are three of the top five biggest races, I would say, have women RDs. So they're driving the sport.
Absolutely they are. Absolutely they are. And are you doing anything special for International Women's Day?
Well, I'm staring out my window right now drinking a beer, and I'm about to go downstairs and help my wife with the kids. So every day is International Women's Day to me.
Ben Kaplan, the editor-in-chief of Iron Magazine. Thanks for joining me this week, Ben.
Love you, my friend.
I'll see you next week.
Thank you, bro.
And Ben joins us every week from Iron Magazine. You know, for a copy of this show or all, any of the other past shows that we've done, you can always go to runningflat.com. We have a like a tab up there that says Running Flat Radio, where you can actually stream it right from there, all the past shows. Or you can go to iTunes to Running Flat Radio on iTunes and download them and go for a run or work out or do whatever you do with this show. But thank you for downloading this show, because it's incredible the numbers that we've been getting. And thanks, because it means that I'm along for the ride, whatever ride you're on, and I really appreciate that. You know, at Running Flat, for more information about our races, whether it's Le Chocolat, which is May 1st, which is on the verge of selling out most of its races, there's also Canada Day. All the race information's there. I'm sure a number of you who are listening are transplanted Canadians, because we have a number of listeners around the world. Take a look at Canada Day. Register, because the month before, we kind of close that virtual registration off. And when we close the virtual registration off, it's so we can actually plan and mail you the race kits, so you can actually run with us on July 1st on Canada Day in your Canada Day swag, your shirt, whoever is going to be on the medal this year, between Wayne Gretzky, Don Cherry, and Clara Hughes. So great to have a woman finally in the finals that folks can vote for as well. And, you know, if you're familiar with that race, some of the past winners of that race on the medal were Sir Johnny McDonald, Terry Fox, and Colonel Chris Hadfield from last year. So it's a really, really cool medal. And anyway, for all information about that, all the other events, go to runningflat.com. Special thanks to Trent Morrow. He's a real inspiration. And that's kind of what every runner has, a story. His just happens to be a much bigger story than most. But talk to any runner and they'll have a similar story of how they started and why they started and what they're doing. You know what? The weather's nice. Make sure you get out there. Go for your walk. Go for your run. But most of all, keep running.
Episode. Running Flat Radio with Chris Yuzinski. Tuesday night, 7 till 8 on AM 800. Running Flat Radio is a paid program. Local news is next on AM 800 CKLW, the information station.